This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, let's do it. 8 o'clock Tuesday, once all the dust has settled on the football world. Because that's where most of the pettiness comes from this time of year, is from the NFL and college football. We do the Pettycast. We highlight pettiness. We love pettiness on this show.
Right.
Let me just
embrace,
be very clear.
Embrace the dark side. We're the anti-D'Amico Ryans. Embrace the uglier parts of your human side. You got to do it now, and that way you don't do it to your kids later on.
That's exactly right,
yeah.
Seth.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start locally here. I had a bunch of it stacked up yesterday, and then this little video pops up, and it looks so familiar. And it was Figgy.
Yeah, Figgy's good with this.
Down in the bowels of NRG Stadium. Mm-hmm. With Hannah McNair walking towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look like she was with Cal. She was walking with somebody else, but she was walking towards Figgy.
Ooh. Who the hell was that guy?
She was a big person. It might have been security. Who knows? But this is right after the Colts game ended. Mm-hmm. And here's what it sounded like.
What's up? Sweep it.
Have you seen anybody sweeping lately?
Yeah, and then she started doing the sweep motion.
Like she did when they swept the Titans last year.
Yeah.
I knew I'd seen this before.
And she's wearing a skirt that's kind of almost like a big, like, prairie skirt almost. So, like, it gives the image almost of, like, a woman out in Kansas in the 1800s sweeping the trash off her porch, you know, sweeping the dust off of her porch.
A little bit.
Yeah, or maybe Indiana.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, get this crap out of here.
The ultimate
trolling. That's what
trolling.
She was saying to the Colts.
I love it.
Good job.
I love this pettiness more than maybe any other pettiness.
I saw Hannah in the rundown, and I was like, oh, no, I don't want to get petty about Hannah. That's not going to be popular
with the people
of Houston or Hannah herself.
It was highlighting her pettiness,
yeah.
Which to me is one of her greatest traits, is that she does
she's not afraid.
She does not forget.
She ain't scared.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
She ain't scared of these other NFL owners, like Jim Irsay. The AFC South might have the...
Shotgun.
We have the best group of owners in terms of just character. They could be characters in WWE.
Oh, 100%.
Shad Khan with his mustache. You got Jim Irsay with his substances.
You put Hannah McNair with the version of Will Anderson that walked into the postgame show the other day.
A pro wrestling.
With the shades and the cowboy hat.
A cage match where you got Jim Irsay walking out to his guitar music that he wrote himself.
Oh, my God.
And Shad Khan. You know, Shad Khan just
owns a wrestling company.
Directing a tag team to do dirty stuff or something.
Yeah.
And then Hannah coming in off the top ropes.
Hannah with the trash talk. Mm. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to give her an acknowledgement, too, while we're at it. I'm gonna acknowledge Hannah McNair for that sweeping comment. All right, let's get to Aaron Rodgers. I just hate him so much. Waxing poetic about the darkness is peak annoying Aaron Rodgers. He was asked about the darkness.
His darkness retreat?
He was asked about the darkness that the Jets are in
right now.
Yeah, he's about the darkness the Jets are in right now. And here's what he had to say.
Call this a moment of darkness for this team. Is that how you see it? And how do you get out of it? I mean, because you could just stay in the darkness as well.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there. Make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams. But if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
He makes it sound like he's fighting dinosaurs or
something.
I've been in there with the lions before.
I've been in the darkness. I went to a high-priced fancy retreat stayed almost the expected time in the darkness. Remember, it was supposed to be like a week, and then it just...
Yeah.
He came out after like 36 hours.
Dark enough. Yeah.
You know what he did? He Anthony Richardson his way out of the darkness. That's enough.
One thing you know about the darkness
is that you can always get out, I plan on doing at the end of the year.
Tapped his helmet. Shannon Sharp killed Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
He did?
Yeah.
It couldn't happen to a more smug, cavalier, condescending guy. Oh, that's even low for you. Now, who else you gonna blame it on? You're running out of people to fire and demote. You fired Robert Saleh. You gonna fire Oberg now, the interim coach? You've demoted Hackett. What you gonna do? Demote the new offensive coordinator? Who else you gonna trade for? Who else you gonna bring in?
Right. So that was.
I think the whole thing is he's almost addressing Aaron Rodgers like he's the GM there, right? And I think that's the ironic thing about where the Jets are right now. Jets, who by the way are favored to win this game versus the Texans on Thursday, it's that Robert Saleh, very good defensive mind and coordinator. He's had, since he became the defensive coordinator in San Francisco, he's had impressive defenses, and the Jets were still a very good defense right up until Robert Saleh got fired this year. So Robert Saleh gets fired, and you look at the sum total of where the Jets are right now. You fired the guy who was really good at one thing at least, which was getting the defense to play well. You fired him for something that he had no control over, which is who is your quarterback, who is the coordinator for that quarterback, all these things. The organization decided we need to get rid of the guy who's actually good at a lot of things for something that we're actually responsible for, and let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
And it's going as you might have expected. It's that, okay, the offense still hasn't come along, but the defense the last 2 weeks has fallen apart.
Yes.
So the fact that the Texans are underdogs in this matchup has me more amped up and ready for this game than ever, because this is a team in the Jets that should be on vapors right now. If you want to really get everything clicking, even without Stephon Diggs, and if you want to start to look more like the team that you look like on paper, go do it versus a team that's 100% not looking like the team they are on paper.
And yet, they're a competent kicker away from being at least 4-4. Well,
that's
four.
Right. Zuerlein, their kicker, was...
He's terrible.
Yeah,
he's cost them at
the
least 2
they
games.
Lost that game, yeah.
They lost the Denver game because of him, and they lost the Buffalo game because
right,
of him.
Right. Yeah, you swap Kyme Fairbairn. Screw quarterback talk. You give the Jets the Kyme Fairbairn, and they're a 500 football team.
And you take Kyme Fairbairn
away from the Texans, they're a 500 football team.
Yeah, and so there you go. I mean, if you're wondering why the Jets favored, they're 2-6. That's a big reason why, no question. All right, let's keep going. Pettycast. This is some good pettiness from an NFL player. So Mike Leslie is a reporter for WFAA in Dallas. And they call it the WFA here on this show. So on a play in the San Francisco-Dallas game, George Kittle caught a ball, a catch and run that he brought down to the goal line. Mm-hmm. And Trayvon Diggs looked like he might have been loafing it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Looked like he might have been making business decisions. Kind of chased him late and sort of pushed him out of bounds.
Looked like he was trying to de-pants him.
Something. Yeah. But whatever it was, it caught the eye of Mike Leslie of WFAA in Dallas. And he tweeted, what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play?
Mm-hmm.
That was it. He retweeted a video of the play and said, what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play? Game ends. Clearly Trayvon Diggs, first thing he did was go to his phone and see this. Walked out from the locker room to the media horde waiting to go into the locker room and confronted Mike Leslie about it.
Now that whole play, that's what you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking the question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Now that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing there?
If you couldn't hear it in the background, Trayvon's final salvo was talk about D's nuts. Which to me made him the good guy in all this. Yeah. I was like, man, Trayvon's being kind of an a-hole. I mean, the guy's just a reporter doing his job, and then he's talk about D's nuts.
I was like,
you win, Trayvon.
I like the confrontation. I like players addressing media members from snarky tweets or everything.
That
I
think is petty,
it's a
good, though.
Well, it's a good, I think it's good to, now, but the defense that the reporter had, which is whether you want to believe he's being smarmy or not, it is a question that can be answered. So a lot of it comes in how are you interpreting the question? What filter are you seeing it through?
Right.
And I think Trayvon might have just, maybe there was a little bit of truth to what that tweet was.
Good pettiness right there.
Yeah.
We do not have audio of this. There's video out there of it. But the Denver Broncos against the Carolina Panthers. By the way, if you want to text in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, some of the pettiness that you saw this weekend or that you've got, by all means, send it in 713-572-4610.
One of the biggest complaints people have about this segment is when I forget that I'm supposed to be being petty. Who am I supposed to be petty towards in that exchange between the reporter and Trayvon Diggs?
I would say it initially Trayvon Diggs, but the D's nuts at the end makes me petty towards
Mike
Leslie. That
was good, yeah. It almost made me like, oh, come on, Mike Leslie. You didn't have a better answer for D's nuts?
Right.
You got.
J.C. Horn of the Carolina Panthers. I don't know if you saw this. At the end of the Denver game, Sean Payton was apparently running gadget plays, going forward on fourth and two late in the game.
Yeah.
J.C. Horn, whose dad, ironically, Sean Payton coached at one point. He's Joe Horn's kid, the wide receiver that used to play for the Saints. Apparently went up and got in Sean Payton's face. There's video of it. The audio's not very good. And complained about Payton doing these things at the end of the game. If we're talking about who to be petty towards in this one, for me, the reality is the only person lamer than running up the score guy is guy complaining about getting the score
getting
run
the score
up on
when
him.
You're the guy that
Stop him, man. Stop him.
I just don't like let it go, man. They can do whatever they want to you. You know what? You are that team's It's just they can do whatever they want.
Yep.
You can be upset about it all. Now there's one the limit there is when I guess the limit is going for it on fourth down, and that's a big question.
No, it's a jerk move.
You're adding a potentially physically damaging play. Both to your own players and to the opponent when you try to do that. I'm with you. Just okay, you just gotta keep your mouth shut about it and remember for the next time. Payton himself has gotten petty as hell in his later years.
Yeah,
remember last year he had said it about the offensive coordinator for the Jets. Nathaniel Hackett. He said it was the worst coaching job he'd ever seen the year before when Nathaniel Hackett was the coach.
Yeah,
after this game, he said we did what we thought we could do offensively versus this defense.
Yeah,
basically don't be that impressed by what we did. It doesn't count because they suck.
He did. Yeah. He basically said the Panthers suck. I mean, he's right, but it's wild to hear a coach say these things. Someone says, I'm petty. We don't have a Diggs update. I'm going to let Seth handle that from now on. If you missed it in the 6 o'clock hour,
I read a
fake tweet
from a fake chef.
It was a Diggs update, so you don't want that.
Was Sean duped by the blue check mark that doesn't mean anything? Nope, this guy didn't even have a fake blue check mark.
Yeah,
real blue check mark. Yeah,
yep, thank you. Yeah, so
keep
it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long.
I looked at it, and I was like, wow, Adam Schefter really deserves a lot more credit for making the money he does with only 3,000 Twitter followers. Yeah, good for him.
I'm keeping this receipt. Mike Elko, Texas A&M head coach. I thought an excellent, excellent form of pettiness after the win over LSU on Saturday night. A&M gets a huge win over LSU, and here's Elko talking about his program.
We're very honest. We're very open. And this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing everybody. This is a real program. And for all the recruits out there, this is a real place. And if you want to be really good at football, this is a really good place to be.
Okay, so that's, an excellent soundbite. You know, to me, I'm going, okay, clearly he's talking about Jimbo Fisher. And you know, cool. You know, you're in a spot now. You are undefeated in the SEC heading into November. You can peacock a little bit. You know, you got one loss to Notre Dame, and that's it. Then he comes back yesterday, Seth.
Yeah.
And he walks it back.
Oh. Just the last thing, and it's just comical that I actually have to do this, but it's necessary.
Is it really?
You know, in the post game, I was asked to kind of give a synopsis on how we sell culture to our program. In doing so, I made a statement that seemed like a very benign statement that somehow managed to be taken as a shot directly at people. You guys gave me multiple opportunities in 9 months to take shots at people, and I've never done it. I have nothing but respect for Coach Fisher. I've said nothing but positive things about Coach Fisher. I'm the head coach at Texas A&M because of Coach Fisher. I appreciate who he is, everything that he's done, and for anybody in the media to think that that was what I was doing post-LSU is it's asinine.
Because I got to stay petty. I've always torn. I didn't feel like it was a set necessarily, certainly 100% a shot at Jimbo Fisher. I know. Am I a sucker for that?
No, because we have time. No, because we have people texting in on the 5 Hour Energy fan line.
Yeah,
that he may have been talking about Brian Kelly,
right?
The coach
right.
he just beat,
right? Or just any standard,
who literally used to be in politics.
Honestly,
by the way,
like any standard stock image in your brain of the head coach that you don't like.
Yeah,
you know, and that's where this happens all the time. Where it just if I say anything about politics in general, like there's a huge legion of people. When I'm trying to be straight down the middle and talk about politicians in general or anything, that are convinced that I'm either talking about Trump or Kamala or whatever, and they either get angry or endorse it. Or yeah. Like, no, I'm trying like hell just to talk about politicians in general.
I immediately thought Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, yeah. No, which is where people's brains go. Yeah. But I don't think, I think he probably was just talking about your standard slimy cartoon version of a college head coach.
Still petty, because okay. At least he seemed petty on Saturday night, and then he came back on Monday petty at all of us that we would have the gall to interpret it in such
yes.
a way.
Yes.
So
okay.
he was still petty in some
I'm gonna
shape,
be petty towards place. Him and like being in the business as long as he's been and not understanding in the moment
how it
that
works.
That's how it was gonna that's how it was gonna yeah. be perceived. Yeah.
Last one here, Tom Brady praises Josh Allen by saying he's no longer a spaz.
Sometimes he played like a spaz, like a great schooler on a sugar high. But now he's controlled the chaos. He's like a storm coming into town, and you don't want that storm coming into this town.
Oh, I like it.
I like it.
I'm going to be petty towards Tom Brady, and that was a little Mark Sanchez-like. It was a little too prepared. It was like, okay, I'm going to get this line in at some point, and this is how I'm going. And I just tend to... It's kind of like new comedians versus old comedians. Newer comedians tend to not have as many canned jokes, and they're not right. as stuck to the script, where the old school comedians, you know, they might do the same jokes for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
They're never going to retire them. I like the guys that are a little bit more off the cuff.
Yeah, that was not... Now, where are we on spaz as a society?
I don't think you're supposed to say it.
I don't think so either.
Because I think it goes back to, like, people with developmental issues or anything, so yeah.
Do you think Brady got a talking to afterwards?
I don't know.
Like,
yeah,
here are the things you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to talk to other teams' front offices.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to go to production meetings because you own the Raiders. You're not allowed to talk to other teams' quarterbacks, and you can't use the word spaz.
The spaz thing, I think that's one of those things. Usually it was with politically correct stuff. I know, like, my first tendency is to think, like, no, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Usually it boils down to, like, oh, okay, I'm going to be respectful to entire groups of human beings. I'll be polite. I'll be more polite. And I get it. I get it with the spaz. Like,
I do, too.
But I don't. It's not like Tom Brady's coming from it where he's saying it in a way where he's basically using the R word or something
that. No. Yeah. I don't think so either. I was curious where we're at with using it at all.
An individual, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that soundbite. Yeah. It was great.
But I don't think he's going to get fired over it or anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. That was a petty cat. Text in 713-572-4610. Send in your petties. Up next, a little perspective. I want to take a step back on the Texan season for a second, because the standings are all in order now. We had Monday Night Football last night. And for everybody that's kind of wringing their hands a little bit, just a little perspective on where the Texans are at the midway point of the season here. We will do that coming up next.